You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton along the network. Seth Everett will join us a little bit later on this hour. Pat Kerwin, 1 hour from now. Another chance to catch our breath. Tomorrow, a huge sports day. Opening day for all of Major League Baseball, not just the Dodgers and Padres. And the Sweet 16 resumes on the men's side. Four games, too early, too late. Then they'll do it again Friday. Got some good matchups, sexy matchups, brand names. Rating should be good. Interest should be high. Speaking of ratings, see how many people watch the Iowa-West Virginia women's basketball game on ESPN?
Just a couple.
Just under 5 million. Yeah, that's a lot of people on cable watching a college basketball game.
A college basketball game.
Yeah, not a women's.
No. That's a lot of people watching a college basketball game.
I mean, that's twice as many and watch Duke Carolina in a regular season. I mean, there are very few NCAA tournament games on cable, on TNT, that have gotten that number. I think the Kentucky game did, and that's it.
And she's still getting new eyeballs. I got a text during the game from a buddy of mine going, watching Caitlin Clark for the first time. Wow, she can really play. And my response was, no blank, how are you just getting here?
Well, better late than never.
Right.
And she has got however many more games to try to convince those that have checked her and the sport out. Will they then follow her to the pros? I mean, that is certainly what that league is praying for. That she is such a phenomenon that people will follow her to the WNBA.
Which has never happened. We watched the Women's World Cup. Mm-hmm. A lot of eyeballs on the Women's World Cup.
Absolutely.
No one's watching any of the women's pro soccer league. That didn't translate into eyeballs into their pro game.
They're trying again, and you know they're growing their audience, but it's small.
Right. To a lesser extent, we've watched women's Olympic hockey for the gold medal game. Their league is doing phenomenal. The Professional Women's Hockey League is drawing big numbers everywhere they play. Not eyeballs on television.
Not yet, no.
Mm-mm. And if she can make the transition from the college game to the WNBA, and I think she has a legit shot. You know, I spend every one of my nights, David, at a girls' practice of some sort, whether it's gymnastics, softball, or soccer. I'm at my daughter's practice four nights a week.
You are a walking focus group.
Well, the parents I deal with are, and all of a sudden last night, Caitlin Clark came up. A few of the dads are talking. About six of us are sitting there talking. And we all watched. And I, of course, asked the question, are you going to watch next year? Or in the spring, or not next year, in the next couple of months.
Right. This summer. Will you watch in the summer?
Because one of the moms asked, will she play on the Olympic team?
No. And we talked about that. We thought that they should have worked her in.
NBC would love for her to be playing on the Olympic team.
Also, quite frankly, I mean, her game, her shooting ability from deep, I mean, it's tough to imagine that there's not a role for that. I mean, talk about a zone buster, and they play a lot more zone in international basketball. I mean, talk about a zone buster. How about Caitlin Clark? But 4.9 million for a second round women's tournament game on ESPN on a Monday night. That's huge numbers. That's five times what they would normally draw for a top five women's team in a second round NCAA tournament game, the advantage Monday night. They weren't going up against the men's tourney, no doubt. But still, I mean, that was the most watched show, certainly on cable television. I don't know if there was a show on all of network television that drew 5 million people Monday night.
I doubt it.
It was certainly the most watched thing on cable. I mean, I don't even know what the Monday night network TV lineup is, but I don't know if any of those shows are doing 5 million. I mean, network TV that's not sports is struggling. Big time.
Name five shows on network television right now. Go ahead.
Hello. So, hey, what's our poll question?
It's about the kickoff rule. Are you in favor of the new kickoff rule? Yes or no? Very simple.
48 hours ago, how would we have answered that?
I would have answered no. I didn't like it. I thought it was quirky. I had to be talked off the ledge yesterday.
I think I would have been with you. It just felt too weird.
And
too contrived.
You know, every once in a while, you usually, my wife works for a living. I do this. So when she comes home, I ask her about her day. And very rarely does she ask, how was the show? Because by the time, like last night, the first time that we saw each other was after around 8 o'clock at night. Right. I'd been done working for a hell of a long time. And she knows that and is a little jealous of how little I work. Would like to flip the switch on the amount of time I work versus the amount of time she works. So I don't think she brings up the show on purpose. And she said, how was the show? I said, it was really good. And I said, you know, we happen to have something happen that doesn't happen very often. A new rule came into football while we were on the air. She said, what's that? My wife's a football fan. There's a new kickoff. A new kickoff. And I started trying to explain it to her. And she's looking at me. Like, what the hell are you talking about? Finally, I just had enough. I grabbed the phone, Googled XFL kickoff, and went, here. And she went, oh, okay. It's a visual.
I will say, when you're explaining the rule, because there's a lot of components to
yes!
it. Yes! I would have suggested that you gave her a glass of wine and let her start sipping it as you're explaining the rule. Because to listen to the rule change at the end of a long day, sober, all right, the rule sounds at best clunky.
And it does. And everything about this rule doesn't sound right to me. We've got a guy kicking it off on the 35. We got guys on the 40 and the 30 on the 35 of the other side. Are we going to – what?
Nobody can move until the ball is caught or it hits the ground.
So we're playing freeze tag until the ball's caught.
There's a 20-yard landing zone between the 0 and the 20.
Who knew the blimp was involved in the kickoff?
Right. No more fair catches. Touchbacks to the 30. If the kickoff doesn't go to at least the 20-yard line, that's considered kicking it out of bounds, and you place the ball at the 40. Oh, by the way, no more spontaneous onside kicks. You have to raise your hand and declare. It's like a substitution in soccer. No, we're taking this guy out. No, we're signing everything. Here we go. Him for him. You know. Now, hey, we're going to onside kick it. Okay, everybody, we're onside kicking it. I have to admit, you would have thought since they pass this radical. I mean, come on. Has there been a more radical change to a play? I mean, what do you consider more radical? What they've done to the kickoff or when they added the 2-point conversion?
What they've done to the kickoff. Because, David, at least with the 2-point conversion, we had seen it our whole lives just on Saturday.
Kirby Smart thinks, by the way, it's going to end up being how they do it in college.
I agree.
Why? The kickers aren't as good in college. There aren't nearly as many touchbacks. There are a lot, but there's not nearly as many. And they have never, ever, outside of targeting, which they certainly don't know how to officiate, outside of targeting, they don't do anything for player safety in college. They don't play around. These kids are disposable. They're here for a short time. We're putting on a show, whatever. They were just fearful of the whole concussion lawsuit, so they put in the targeting thing. That's it. That was to avoid getting sued. Otherwise, they don't care if you blow out knees. Could care less. They don't really care about the concussions. Should see how they allow guys to get hit in college. You get suspended in the NFL for the hits they allow on Saturdays. It was why, Mark, I thought Bryce Young could play on Sundays, even though he was so short. Because I watched him get the absolute tar beat out of him by Tennessee one day and said, well, they can't even do that to him on Sundays.
David, I think they'll change the rule in college because at the highest level of college, there are a lot of touchbacks. There aren't as many. I got you. But it's more of a football play. There will be more returns. And I think it comes down to what you and I talked about yesterday. And you're part of it. You hype up those games. It was the SEC on CBS, and now it's the Big Ten on CBS. You hype up the game. The band's in a frenzy. The Georgia fans are yelling, go Dogs. They're barking, and nothing happens.
We're underway. And they'll bring it out to the 25.
Whew. That was exciting.
Good thing we partied 4 hours in the parking lot for that, huh?
So that's what I think it will be. And outside of 1 foot, 2 foot, they keep doing things to make their game a lot more like the NFL.
Including paying them. And soon there'll be employees and there'll be a cap.
Once they can figure out how to cap spending in this college game, they'll be all set.
Right. I mean, because they want to cap spending on the players, just not the coaches. They need to cap it on the players. Right. Not enough money for the ADs and the coaches. Can we build another building? I think we need another building. I think the football team needs another facility, don't you? Miller and Moulton. The play of the day, and listen, we haven't talked to Trent about this at all, but man, does he have options. There were six terrific hockey games. There were some outstanding NBA last night. He's got options. There was even a college basketball game that came down to the buzzer. Trent Bally and the play of the day. Seth Everett in 25 minutes. Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes after the hour, and if there's only one segment of the show a day that you would watch on twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton, this should be the one, because this is when you get to see young Trent Bally, and by the end of the segment, he will present us with the play of the day. But I am always intrigued by how the 24-year-old dresses. What is the attire?
The attire today.
It's almost always. I mean, let's just say on average we do 22 shows a month. 20 out of the 22 have to have a sports theme, right?
20 of the 22 have a Detroit sports theme, and yes. Then he wears a Motley Crue shirt twice a week.
That's pretty good. That's pretty accurate.
It's pretty good because I see it every morning.
It's all I own. All I own is T-shirts, and it's always... You know, I also have a lot of sleeveless.
What are you going to do Sunday? I mean, it's Easter. I know your parents are going to be. I mean, do you have a collared shirt to wear for Easter, or do you just wear a Pistons T-shirt to the dinner?
I have a couple collared shirts. They're flamboyant. They're very bright colors, loud patterns. But I'll be wearing a collar.
Well, the parents are coming to town. This just in: they don't come to town empty-handed. When parents come to town, they come with cash. Okay, they do. They come loaded, just in case, you know, emergency. But and then once the emergency doesn't happen, midway through the trip, do you know what they say? Hey, let's go out and buy you something. You need stuff. See, you're still young enough where they'll buy you stuff.
So what you're saying is I should get a wardrobe upgrade.
Yeah. No. Definitely a chance. This is your chance on Saturday. First off, you just say to your mom, Mom, I had to admit,
I don't have a nice shirt for Easter Sunday. Can we just go out? And she'll be like, absolutely. And then that gets you in the store. And once you're there, you know, it's like being at a buffet. All right.
Here's the thing. I don't think Trent wants a new shirt. I think Trent's very comfortable with his Detroit/Michigan State wardrobe.
How is he going to get the young lady from Appleton, Wisconsin to swoon over him if he's wearing what he wears on this show? Honestly, Mark. I mean, come on. He doesn't even have a date shirt.
What you see is what you get. This is what I'm going to be wearing all the time anyways.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to be single for a long, long time, Trent.
No, that's not how dating works. Dating is a scam. Okay? You're trying to present yourself in a better light. All right. You're trying to convince her that you're a catch. Okay. Once she gets far enough down the road, she realizes, my goodness, the guy still wears a Dennis Rodman shirt.
You're trying to smear lipstick on a pig. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Okay. And at first, you present yourself so well, you're not a pig. Okay. You get about a year and a half in it. And then she realizes, holy blank, I am dating Sparky over there.
And at that point, they don't want to leave. They don't want to start this all over again. They're like, I'll deal with the warts.
Yes, use mom and dad. They're loaded. They're happy to see you. All right, get a couple shirts. And here's a crazy idea I know, because it's not like you're going to have to wear them for the next 9 months. Get a pair of pants. Just one pair of pants. Your mom will be thrilled. It's a mom thing. Just trust us. Trust the old guys on the show, okay?
I do. I trust you guys on a lot of things. I trust you guys on a lot, most things, I would say.
So let mom go shopping for it. Trust me. She would love to spend $200 in clothes on you. Love it. Your dad wouldn't, but your mom would.
My dad just, won't care one way or the other.
I'm confused right now because David is right in a lot of ways. But I know with both parents coming down, the odds are you'd rather be bellied up at a bar with dad watching a game than inside a mall shopping with mom.
Yeah, probably. Although I do love my mom time. I mean, you know.
No. See, here's the thing. You have to learn. You don't shop. You buy. No. That's what you do. You walk in. I can do Christmas shopping for all the people in my life in an hour and 13 minutes. All right? You don't shop. You buy.
You got to have a
Mom,
plan.
I need a dress shirt. I need three good collared shirts. And I need one good pair of pants. Boom. Done. And then you're bellied up at the bar with dad. And mom's thrilled. She's sitting there at a bar stool with packages all around her. It's been a great day.
I will say, I think the dynamic is a little different when there's three kids. Because you guys both come from.
Yes.
Only child. And I'm not saying you're wrong about this. I'm just saying there is a little bit of a. You know, they got to divvy it up evenly. If they can't just take me on a shopping spree, then they'd have to take the other two.
And let's be honest, he's not the favorite.
I'm the middle child.
He's the middle child. He gets nothing.
He's the middle child.
He's the middle child.
Well, here's the deal.
In every sense of the word.
They've got one splurge in them for you, and this is probably it. This is the first time they visited you in your new home, right?
Correct.
You've been here 5 months. This is their first time down?
Yep.
This will be the only time you get money out of them. This is it. This is the time to hit them up. Because you're right. You get nothing after. Plus, it's Easter, you know, the whole holiday. I mean, they made the decision to spend Easter with you. Trust me, this is it. Hit them up.
And, David, this is just a nice little pit stop before they head up to Augusta for the Masters.
Exactly. They're in a good mood. They're loaded with cash. Loaded. Let them spend it on you.
Time now for our Molly Maid Play of the Day, brought to you by the good folks at Molly Maid. Call them today. Give your spouse the gift of a clean house, 774-5839. That's 239-774-5839.
By the way, my dad just texted me a bunch of laughing emojis, so he's clearly listening to the show right now.
He knows it's his money, and it's gone. If mom wants to spend it, it's toast.
So, Mark, the good news is the Red Wings got a point last night. Bad news is the Caps got an extra one. Wings at Caps, heads to overtime at 3-3, and that's when Dylan Stromme scored his second goal of the night to send everyone home.
Closing in here, Carlson for Stromme scores!
Washington closes the homestand in style with an overtime win.
And so the Caps win at 4-3. Things really heating up in the NHL as the season draws to a close. And if anyone with the Wings is listening to this, come on, boys. Get it together. Pick it up. I need a playoff run from one of these teams. I know I just got the Lions. I'm a bit spoiled. But since then, it's been the Pistons and Wings hockey.
And the Wings are crawling to the finishing line.
They are not even limping. They're crawling. And there's your Molly Made play of the day.
Caps, on the other hand, are hot.
They just keep finding ways to win.
Well, and also it's the interesting dynamic that the front office actually sold off a couple vets. They actually made deals at the deadline thinking about the future, not the present. And the kids, Mark, the kids stepping up through the organization. The kids in the organization are getting it done for the boys.
That Stromy kid last night that scored the game winner, 2 goals in the game, he just set his career high for goals in a season. I mean, they're having career years, the kids are.
I think it's 10 of 13 they've won.
Yeah, they're red hot. Red hot. Meanwhile, Wings, that was their 7th straight road loss.
Tough to make the playoffs that way, guys. I'm just telling you. But it's interesting. Some teams were able to turn it over on the fly, and the Capitals look as if they're possibly doing it. Whereas the Penguins decided to stick with the old guard. You know, the Caps stuck with Ovechkin, but they're trying to change a lot of components around it. Still have TJ Oshie and whatever, but, you know, they're changing some things around it. Penguins stayed old, and it hasn't worked. And now, oof. I mean, Crosby's going to enter the final year of his contract next year.
Gosh, I can't even picture him anywhere else.
I understand, yeah. But and the word is he really would rather be shot in the leg than play for any other organization. But if you're 36-year-old Sidney Crosby and you take a look at the landscape, is that franchise going to win anything anytime soon?
He won't go to the playoffs for the rest of his career at the rate the Pens are. That everything around him is terrible.
And so, do you really want to play? Well, you've played your last meaningful game, and you're going to play for 3-4 more years? Miller and Moulton. Seth Everett is going to pull over and talk to us next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes before the hour, Pat Kerwin to talk about all that went down at the NFL owners' meetings, the rule changes, and what have you. He'll join us in a little more than 20 minutes' time. Seth Everett has literally pulled over on the side of the road, and he's talking to us. Well, Mark, he's not 100%.
A little bit of a computer issue.
We have, for whatever reason, we jumped on with Seth. This got a little glitchy, and now I've lost both David and Seth. So I don't know if we're going to have Seth Everett on this morning. We will definitely try to have Seth on, but now it seems that we've got all three parties back. Seth, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
And those are the players I know did steroids, and I'm not telling you again.
Okay. Yeah.
Here we go.
We've heard that one before.
All right. So apparently you came up with a scheme to get out of jury duty before we get to the Ohtani thing, because that story's not going anywhere. So did you do something different to get out of jury duty?
It was very different. It was really weird. My plan going in is I always talk about the media and how in the media you are asked to make split decisions really quickly without any thought to due process. And I've done that, I want to say, 4 times at various jury duty assignments, and I get thrown right off the case. This case, I'm not going to give you any of the particulars. It was an attempted murder. And we're sitting in the jury room, and they have a questionnaire. And the first question is, you know, do you care about his race or any of that, gender? No, I don't care about any of that. What's the second one is, has a family member or close friend ever been victim of a violent crime? I lost my best friend to a murder-suicide.
Right.
So they said, raise your hand. I raised my hand. They said, goodbye. I go, that's it? It was that easy. And I took off, and I was there for, of the 7 hours I was supposed to be there, I think I was there for 90 minutes.
Have you ever wanted to serve on a jury, or have you always wanted to get out of jury duty?
No, and I have a very thought-out answer to that, because you're not the first person that's asked me that. I do believe jury duty should be voluntary at first, because I do think there are a huge section of the population that love doing it, and they should go first. I never want to be on a jury, only because of the things going on in my life at whatever time that I've been on jury duty. I can't just take 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks off to start worrying about some other person's future.
I would love to be a juror,
right,
in a murder trial. I would absolutely love it.
Love it. No, I get it, and you should go to the front of the line. That's
but the problem is they asked me what I do for a living, and I immediately shown the door.
There you go. It's crazy that we have to go through the whole process. I wish they could put like a little star next to our names, say skip over that guy. That would be how I would do it. I saw people in the room. They were like salivating at the idea of being on this jury. Get them on. Let them do it.
Did you use your interpreter as a reason why you couldn't serve on the jury duty?
No. No. It's a pretty good segue, though. Nobody had an interpreter at jury duty.
What do you make of the story, by the way? And, you know, all your years in working for Major League Baseball at one point, you know how they feel about gambling. You know the commissioner. All right, just your thoughts on the Ohtani story, and we'll go from there.
I thought it was very suspicious that, first of all, this gambler, this interpreter rather, making $400,000 a year, could get $4.5 million in credit with a bookie. To get the bills that high, Ohtani had to have known way ahead of time. So this idea that he was blindsided by the whole thing and surprised. Also, I don't know. Look, I'm not a super rich guy, but I know a lot of super rich people, and I've asked them. There's nobody that has access to bank accounts to do wire transfers. I don't know if you guys have ever done wire transfers, and I'm saying this more to your audience. You have to go through like 17 steps to do wire transfers and have security passwords and text to codes and all these different things to do a wire transfer. How did this guy get access to all of Ohtani's stuff? And he had no idea. So he's either the most ignorant person in the world, or he was lying.
Or the interpreter is the brightest criminal that's ever lived. And right. And based, well, yeah, and based on his past, that doesn't seem to be the case. The guy's a liar. He's, you know, he didn't go to this college. He didn't work for this team. He doesn't seem like he's someone that could contrive this type of criminal enterprise to get $4.5 million away from Ohtani.
And I thought it was weird, because when I put it on through SportsCenter, and they immediately went to Tim Kirkchin, who I like a lot. I've known for decades. And he said, oh, well, he came off believable. How? First of all, you had no idea what he was actually saying. The interpreter, the new interpreter, was reading a statement. And I just think there are so many questions. And he doesn't have to answer questions from reporters. He will have to from either law enforcement in California or MLB investigators, which, you know, that Roto-Rooter group, you know, Manny Moe and Jack are going to come in, and they're going to have something.
Say. Joe Torre is really going to ask tough questions.
Yeah, tough questions.
Of Ohtani.
Please.
Really tough questions. Like, when you go to San Francisco, where do you eat?
My argument is going to be, this is the way I thought, because I had Jim Duquette on Sports with Friends, and we talked about it, and a lot of this is not in the podcast because it would be outdated, you know, the minute it got published. But this argument about him getting 5 games, 10 games, 15 games, that's nonsense. He's either getting a year or nothing. And I couldn't tell you right now this morning whether he would get nothing or they're either throwing a book at him or he's getting off scot-free. If
let's
he gets scot-free.
Let's just say he paid off the guy's gambling debts, that Ohtani, for whatever reason, is lying about that, but that the guy got the credit because he said, I'm Ohtani's guy, and Ohtani paid off his gambling debts. Ohtani didn't do the gambling, okay, but Ohtani found out about it and paid off the guy's gambling debts. If you're Manfred, what do you do?
But when did Ohtani know? Like, what I'm saying is before the debts got that, yes.
Why?
Because if Ohtani gave the translator money to gamble, he's complicit. And at what point was Ohtani's involvement after the bill had been raised to $4.5 million, or was this a gradual thing? And again, if you think that Ohtani just woke up one morning in Korea and said, wow, this has been happening, that's what's not plausible.
But there's a big difference, though, between obviously if he did the gambling.
Sure.
Okay. And now there's if he did the gambling and he has the gambling problem, but he never bet on baseball, he won't be kicked out of the sport. But and let's just say, Seth, even if Ohtani did the gambling, you're allowed now in California, you're not allowed to bet on sports. So he would actually face criminal charges. But none of us think that they would ever amount to anything more than a misdemeanor. And he would get probation and pay a fine and all that. OK, but within Major League Baseball, I mean, Mike Trout can openly talk about betting on the Eagles and bet on the Eagles. That's right. And that's not against the rules.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, baseball has a line that they're walking as the segments that they're breaking all the Ohtani rules down are probably brought to you by FanDuel or DraftKings.
Well, DraftKings is the number three sponsor of Major League Baseball in terms of revenue.
That's hypocritical. I mean, you know, when I was talking to Jim Duquette, we were reminded of a big fight I had when Bud was commissioner, a massive fight, because this was before gambling was legal and before there was any kind of relationship with a DraftKings or anybody like that. MLB used to promote this fantasy show, and I was like, what kind of hypocrites are you? I never understood. This was probably like 2003. And I was working for the league, and they would come out and you know, we'd have to do live reads. Daryl and I would have to do live reads. Make sure you tune in at noon for all your fantasy advice. We'll have fantasy experts and fantasy. And I'm not anti-fantasy. Don't misconstrue that comment. But if you think fantasy is not a form of gambling, you're naive. And it's all gambling. And so baseball has embraced gambling while they say they're anti-gambling. It's hypocritical.
All right. Is there a way? Because baseball wants this to go away more than anything else, Seth. This is the number one star of this. But if there's any way for this to go away, they're going to try to get it done. But now that the feds are involved, I don't think they can just sweep this under the rug, can they?
No, and there's wonderful journalists who are going to track this. And so it's going to continue to be a thing. You cannot, you did not pacify the masses with that press conference. This wasn't a Alex Rodriguez come to Jesus moment. That remember when all the steroids were and he came in and all his teammates were in the background.
Yeah. Well, like, they were forced to. I mean, the cashman basically said, go to the room or I'll cut you. All right.
Yep.
We're running out of time, and I want you to be able to plug Sports with Friends and Hall of Justice. But there's a story that has yet to fully be picked up. But the word now is that ESPN is thinking, we might be done with Major League Baseball. When our contract runs out in a couple of years here, you know what? We're done. If Major League Baseball were to lose ESPN, how big of a deal is it, or in this day and age, would it not matter at all?
No, it matters. It matters a lot, considering the idea that ESPN claims to have a finite budget and, you know, the costs of the NBA rights and all these different conference rights and all these things. They're not dropping the A-10 to carry baseball games. They don't even like baseball. The idea that ESPN is a major, major venue for them and a major revenue driver. This is all on the heels of everything going on with the RSNs. And, you know, baseball does not have solid footing when it comes to television. And the one network that's loyal to linear is Fox, and they only do a bare minimum of games. You know, yes, they're postseason. I think this is a big deal for baseball, and it's something that we've been talking about for weeks.
Sports with Friends, Hall of Justice, what do you got, Seth?
Sports with Friends, first of three baseball episodes in a row. Former GM Jim Duquette, my old broadcast partner, makes his first appearance. We have a Hall of Famer in 2 weeks for episode 450. So it's Phil Nevin next week and then this Hall of Famer. And then Hall of Justice, we've got another Hall of Famer, award-winning writer and artist Garth Ennis is on the podcast. He created The Boys. He wrote The Punisher. He's done tons and tons of Eisner Awards, all these awards. Heavy hitter, Garth Ennis on Hall of Justice and Jim Duquette on Sports and Friends.
Why will you not tease the Baseball Hall of Famer?
Why because not? I don't want to jinx it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Once he records it, he starts talking about it.
Then we'll talk. Then we'll start spewing.
Okay. What kind of bagel and what do you put on it?
Oh, I don't know that there's going to be a bagel in my future. It's the
you
bagel.
You said.
No, it's the bagel and coffee spot. It was the bagel place. It's called a bagel place. I think it's Bagels for You or for Me or for Everyone. I don't know what it's called, but it's a bagel place. That's where I was going to get coffee.
Just a coffee, no bagel.
I think so, yeah. I'm not feeling the bagel today.
Don't know how you go to a bagel place and not get a bagel, but that's just me.
Well, maybe the smell, once you get in, maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know. I really haven't thought the whole thing through.
Well,
we could have plugged the podcast more.
Okay, Sports with Friends Hall of Justice. you know, follow Seth on X at Seth_Everett. All right, be careful driving to Syracuse. Enjoy your bagel, and we'll talk next week.
You got it, guys.
Seth Everett, kind enough to join us, literally pulling over on the side of the road. See, in Jersey, they've got the law. You can't be on your phone while driving. Even though, in theory, the phone's not in his hand, and he can just put it there, and he could still drive, but it, you know.
You can't do hands-free?
I don't know. My mother tells me all the time that you can't be on the phone when you're driving. So, I don't know. I'll have to.
Got to pump your own gas, can't be on the phone.
Only state where you have to pump your own gas. But somebody did win the Mega Millions there.
Yes.
Which is never, far and away, the biggest jackpot ever won in that state. So $1.1 billion, I guess they get like $537 million if they take the lump sum. Could you do anything with that? $537? Would we finish the week?
No. Not a chance. Pat Kerwin is next.